Live Creative Now, episode 87.
Welcome to Live Creative Now with Melissa Dinwiddie, a weekly podcast to inspire you to create your art and share your work, because that's how you will change the world.
Hello, hello, hello. I am Melissa Dinwiddie, passion pluralite artist, happiness catalyst, and creativity instigator, and author of The Creative Sandbox Way, here to address all your questions about living a full-color creative life. Whether you think of yourself as not artistic, not creative, which is a lie, or you think of yourself as an artist of any kind, or anything in between, no matter how you define yourself, feeding your creative hungers makes you feel more alive. And it's how you change the world. I stumbled upon a metaphor the other day that really helped me during this very weird post-book launch phase that I'm in. In case you didn't know, I just launched my book, The Creative Sandbox Way, back on November 15th. And writing and publishing and launching a book is a major project. Actually, it's three major projects. Actually, it's four if you add in designing the book, because that's a major project in its own right. And I managed to do all four of these things in the span of less than 3 months. So really, it shouldn't come as a big surprise that I was pretty wiped out by the end of the launch. Actually, I was pretty wiped out by the beginning of the launch. And then there was a week of launching. I was wiped. If you came to any of the launch week events, you might not have noticed, but by the time I got off of each one of those live Facebook live launch video live video streams, I basically collapsed on the sofa in the living room, and I basically kind of was like collapsed on the sofa all week. And it's only been a few weeks since then. I guess it's been a few weeks since the end of the launch, and I feel like I haven't quite gotten back to normal. I haven't quite gotten my full energy back, gotten back to my sort of regular routine. And guess what? Because I am such a driven person, because one of my top StrengthsFinder 2.0 strengths is achiever. Actually, that's my number two strength. I want to constantly be producing. And when I'm not, I feel really, really frustrated. So for the past few weeks, I have been feeling, well, really frustrated and like there's something wrong with me. And I was actually feeling guilty until a very wise person that I've been working with, thankfully, pointed out that, hello, I just like published a book in 3 months, and maybe I get to take a break. You know, like farmers have to let their fields lie fallow every few years, that kind of thing. You know, like we have to sleep at night. Human beings have cycles, animals have cycles. And that is when this metaphor of a peach tree sprang to mind. I love metaphors, in case you haven't noticed. You know, the whole creative sandbox metaphor is huge in my world, and that also just popped into my head one day and changed my life. And same thing with this peach tree metaphor. It occurred to me, and I wrote this in a little spontaneous note to my insiders a couple of weeks ago. So if you are a subscriber, you might have seen this if you opened that email. It occurred to me that I am like a peach tree. Now, really, it could be any fruit tree. So close your eyes for a second and imagine your favorite fruit tree. Stone fruits work especially well for this metaphor. I am not actually a gardener. I'm not a horticulturalist. I am not a whatever the term is for tree people. I can't remember. I'm not a tree person who knows trees. So there are probably fruit trees that do not work well for this metaphor, but I know stone fruits work especially well for this metaphor. I happen to really like peaches, so I'm going with a peach tree. But if you prefer cherries or plums or apricots, I love all those fruits too. I happen to love stone fruits of all sorts. Knock yourself out. Think of your favorite fruit tree. And here's the thing. Our creative process is just like a fruit tree's creative process. You get an inkling of a creative idea, and that's like little tiny little buds starting to form on your branches in the spring. And then those little teeny buds start to blossom in ideas, little an explosion of ideas. And then those ideas, you know, in the spring, how the fruit trees, it's like boom, 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 blossoms, blossoms, blossoms. That's all the ideas that you get. And then those ideas start to grow into little baby peaches. And all this creative energy, you suck up all this creative energy up from your roots, and it goes up your trunk, out into your branches, and it goes into producing, turning those ideas into what will, over time, become juicy, ripe peaches. And spring rolls into summer, and now you bear fruit, tons of fruit. You fruit and fruit and fruit and fruit. So much fruit. You have to can it, freeze it, bake it into pies and breads and cakes and jams and everything you can think of, because everyone around you is overflowing with the wonderful fruit that you have produced. So much fruit. And then what happens? Then the last of your fruit falls off your branches and your leaves fall off, hence the name of that season that we are currently in, fall. And now you are basically a bunch of sticks. For several months throughout the winter, you are sticks. You may be a bunch of cherry sticks or plum sticks, or like me, peach sticks, peach tree sticks. You're basically just sticks. And you know what? Peach trees do not feel guilty for being sticks during the winter. And if you are a cherry trees do not feel guilty for being sticks during the winter. And if you are an apricot tree or a plum tree, you do not feel guilty for being sticks during the winter. Because that is what fruit trees do. That is part of the creative cycle for a fruit tree. And this is what I am working on right now. Not feeling guilty that I am not currently in massive creative output phase, which is what I just went through. I just went through an enormous, massive creative output phase. It was called writing, designing, publishing, and launching a book. That was all the peaches. And now I am in the post-massive creative output phase, which looks a lot like being a peach tree in winter. It is not very pretty, but it is equally as important as the bearing peaches part of the peach tree's creative life cycle. And in fact, a lot is going on underneath the bark of a peach tree during that stick phase. You just can't see it or smell it or taste it. It isn't a very externally satisfying part of the cycle, but it is an essential part of the cycle. And although it can be very frustrating day to day, I'm actually not feeling guilty anymore because I keep thinking about the peach tree. Peach tree doesn't feel guilty, and therefore I don't have to feel guilty. It can be frustrating, but I'm like inside the bark of my metaphorical peach tree, there is a lot going on. There's a lot of, I don't know, sap moving around or something. There's things happening inside, getting ready for those buds that are going to bud in the spring, whether the spring is going to be the literal spring of 2017 or in 2 weeks or tomorrow, I don't know. But things are happening inside. It's actually kind of exciting. When I think of it in terms of a peach tree's creative life cycle, instead of just, I'm not producing the way I was when I was in massive creative output phase. This metaphor of the peach tree has been on my mind a lot, not surprisingly. And it also came to mind in a sort of a separate way this week inside my Creative Sandbox community in our Facebook group, where somebody brought up the frustration that she was experiencing around the particular brand of stuckness where you're able to produce. It's not like you're not producing anything. You are producing, but you're not producing anything that you truly love. Nothing's lighting your fire. You know, you wish it were, but it's not lighting your fire and it's really frustrating you. So you keep plugging away, but it's not energizing you. And you might even be wondering if you're ever going to find inspiration and joy and passion and enthusiasm in your creative work ever again. That is a place I know very well. And that is what I call the rut phase of the creative process. And part of you, when you're in that phase, part of you might know that this is part of the process. But even if you know that, it doesn't mean that it's fun. It's not fun. It's very unfun. And if you don't already know that it is an expected and very normal part of the creative process, you might actually be wondering if there's something wrong with you. And I want to assure you that there is not. There's nothing wrong with you. It's very normal. So, kind of in line with the peach tree metaphor, I thought that I would share with you a brief outline of my personal experience of how the creative process works for me from start to finish. And this is pretty much how it goes for me, almost without exception. And I wanted to share it with you because you might be able to relate. And, you know, if it's not something that you've given any thought to before, it may help you feel a little less freaked out by your own creative process. Because until we see our creative process as a pattern, it can be easy for us to pathologize it and think that there's something wrong with us or that we're not creative or yeah. So, here's how it goes for me. It's something like this. So it starts off with flailing around, total chaos. Keep flailing, flail some more, yet more flailing. And the thought is, will I ever create something of any value whatsoever? The thought that I have shared before is this feeling that I am reaching my hand into a black hole, trying to grab something. And the fear is that I have no idea if I'm going to grab anything or if I am going to be sucked into that black hole and pulled in. That is kind of the existential fear. More flailing. Eventually, something starts to catch. And then there's this, something a little interesting. Okay, keep at it. And then there's this, I like this. Keep at it a little bit. And then there's this sense of, I think I may have found a groove. Now, I have on the show notes here, I have this listed out in shorthand as a numerical list. And there's a little note here that says, note, this part may take a lot longer to get to than shown here. So this is number 7. I think I may have found a groove. And then 8, 9, and 10 are groove. And that is the juicy part when you've got this groove. And for me, the groove is the place where I'm feeling challenged, but it's juicy and exciting. And it feels, it's kind of this interesting combination of comfort and discomfort. So I feel challenged, but there's also this sense of enough comfort that I can dive into it, but enough challenge, discomfort, that it keeps me interested. Because if it's too comfortable, I get bored. So that groove goes for as long as it goes. And then when it starts getting too comfortable, then it loses its excitement and I start getting bored. And then I start getting really bored. But when it's been a groove for a while, I don't want to admit for a while that I'm getting bored because I had such a lovely groove going. And I know that once I let go and leave that groove, then I'm going to have to flail again. And I don't want to go into the flailing place because that's so profoundly uncomfortable. So I keep going with this groove. And when a groove gets too deep, we know what happens. Then it becomes a rut. And it stays a rut. It does not go back to being a groove. It is a rut and a rut and a rut and a rut and a rut. And it stays a rut until I finally say, okay, I really must get on with something else. And then sometimes I stay in that rut for much longer than is really good for me because I'm so resistant to going back to the flailing place because it's so profoundly uncomfortable to be in the flailing place. And then eventually, finally, something will tip me over. I will get so fed up with being in the rut that the pain of staying in the rut is greater than the pain of leaping out into the unknown and going back to flailing. So I will go back to flailing. And so, or sometimes there will be a place in between where I'm neither in the rut nor am I flailing. I'm kind of in this limbo place in between. And that is basically the cycle. Go back to flailing, go back to that chaos of, I don't know what I'm doing, reaching my hand in the black hole, and so on and so on and so on. Lather, rinse, repeat. And as I note in the show notes, with liberal sprinklings of gremlins throughout, because the gremlins never go away. And anytime we step into uncertainty, anytime we push beyond our comfort zone, which by definition, anytime we step into uncertainty, we are doing that is when the gremlins appear and tell us that we're not good enough. Who do we think we are? All of those, any kind of self-doubting, self-critical kinds of messages, that is when the gremlins appear. Now, if this cycle reminds you at all of the cycle of growth of the peach tree, it should not come as a surprise. Because whether you think of it as a peach tree or as a cycle of flail, groove, rut, flail, groove, rut, it comes out to the same thing. This is the cycle. This is the creative cycle. And all this is to say, if you happen to be going through a stick phase or a flail phase or a rut phase, know that you are not alone. Know that there is nothing wrong with you. Know that it is part of the process. It is not a fun part of the process. And I'm sorry to say that it is something that just has to be gone through. The only way through it is through it. But hopefully, knowing that it is a natural part of the process will help you get through it with more grace and more self-compassion. So I ask you and invite you and encourage you to treat yourself kindly, do something loving for yourself, and fill your well. Fill your well. This is what I've been working on in the past few weeks in this really uncomfortable, painful, post-massive creative output phase that I really do not like. Fill your well. It may mean taking lots of naps. It may mean reading lots of novels. I've been doing a lot of that. Whatever you can do to take really good care of yourself and enjoy the ride. This is the ride we're on. So do your best to enjoy where you are, because you never know when the next phase is going to start. And the only thing that you can count on is that it will. The cycle is going to keep continuing. So enjoy it. That's it. That's a wrap. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you are getting value out of this podcast, tell your friends. That is the best way to thank me. And as always, hop on over to iTunes. And if you haven't done so already, please leave a rating and review. I would be so profoundly, profoundly grateful if you would do that. Meanwhile, if you haven't checked out my book, check it out at creativesandboxway.com. And if you buy my book and forward your receipt along with your mailing address to creativesandboxway@gmail.com, I will send you a special goodie made by me. I am clearing out my studio of things that I created to make space for new creations. And I am sending people who have purchased my book post-launch. So if you purchase my book as of from December 12th onward, I will send you something special. So purchase the book, go to creativesandboxway.com, grab a copy of the book, forward the receipt to creativesandboxway@gmail.com with your mailing address, and I will send you something, a surprise, that's worth $15 or more. Send it to you through the mail. So that's it. Until next time, thanks again for joining me, and go get creating. Live creative now. Subscribe at livecreativenow.com.